Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Oh, welcome to Call to Freedom. Oh, may you be blessed today. Blessed beyond measure. Blessed in a way that assures you of the plans that God has for your life. And you can look that up in Jeremiah 29:11. And so many of you know that verse of scripture already. I'm so grateful that you're listening to me today, and that I'm so grateful that Call to Freedom can come to you live every day, Monday through Thursday, and then a beautiful encore show on Friday with Darren. It's a blessing to be able to let you know what's going on in this world so you can be prayed up on current events. You can go to freedomstreet.org and click on radio shows and listen to the radio shows. You can even donate online. And thank you so much. I have some new donors come online, and thank you so much for donating to Call to Freedom. Just hit that little donate button and you can donate to Call to Freedom anytime, 24/7. God bless you. It's been wonderful to know that God is with you as I pray for you, as He is with me. Just yesterday, I have had a big Xerox color printer go out on me after the electrical outage the other day, a week and a half ago. So I haven't had my color printer for a week and a half. So I called Xerox. And of course, they transferred me to a department, a technician and a service department. And, you know, they know so much than the average person. And this gentleman, God bless him, he just didn't have a lot of English to give me. And so we were going back and forth, and I was saying, pardon, pardon, pardon. And he told me that it would probably need a technician to come to the home. So after we unplugged and plugged and unplugged, he said, I will get in touch with them. Well, if you've ever had service calls, you know that when you call into a service call, it takes 3 or 4 days, maybe later, to get a person to come to your need. And so last night, I mean, it was so quick. Within 8, 9, 10 hours, this gentleman from Xerox called. He said, I'll be there tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. Sure enough, he was there this morning at 8 o'clock. He serviced the 830, my big printer, and it's working. And I give God the glory, because those things, those transformations that happen in our lives, we've got to give God the glory, even for the technicians that come and fix our appliances at such wonderful times and so quickly and so promptly. And I thank that gentleman who was a born-again believer. I thanked him for coming so quickly. And so, folks, we've got to recognize God every minute of every day and give Him the glory for all that He's doing for us. I am so grateful. I'm grateful for you, Kimberly Duell. Thank you for that slate. That was a beautiful slate.
Sure, you're welcome. You know, you're just really talking about a plot in your storyline, the storyline of your life, and that something happened. You know, we have things that happen. They're interruptions, they're obstacles, they are, sometimes it brings us victory, sometimes it causes us despair. And these things happen in our lives, and we can start stressing about it, or we can choose to enter God's rest. Yes. On it. And it takes faith. And we've been talking about the subject of a better word and having the faith to speak a better word over our story. instead of grumbling or complaining, being grateful and thankful for our story. Mm-hmm. So I give thanks too for how that worked out so well for you. You lean on that printer so much. And I think when people hear you on the radio, maybe most of them don't know how much you do behind the scenes, how many newsletters you send out, and you send out receipts for people, and you're constantly printing, and people ask for CDs, and you send out CDs, mm-hmm. and they don't realize how much all of the mailing costs you, mm-hmm. and you never ask people to cover the cost of the mailing. You just send it right out, and you know, I love that God blesses you for that, but I'm mm-hmm. also thankful along with you that others have decided to start pitching in and donating. That
yes.
that is a great help to us right now in this season.
Amen.
So thank you all for your support, for your encouragement, and for donating at a time when we are in need. And that's something else that I just want to say really quickly before we continue on this faith story, because your life really, Mom, has been one of faith. I haven't heard you go on the air and say, wow, I'm really running out of funds. You haven't brought that before the people and before the listeners. And, you know, the costs really changed over the last 5 years.
Yes.
Things have changed so much.
Yes.
And you have not had the donors come alongside you and really donate to make up the difference. And so you've just covered it, and you have not complained once. And I just am so thankful for that heritage in my life. I've watched you look to God to supply for your every need, and He has, and He will continue. We know that for certain.
Praise God. To God be the glory, Kimberly. And you were involved in so much of that faith life that we had, even in the motorhome, going from coast to coast. And I remember one time arriving in Pennsylvania, and your father had 17 cents in his pocket, gave mm-hmm. you girls the 17 cents to buy gumballs. And
yep.
that's how we lived. I mean, from one town to another town, hopping all across the United States on faith. Didn't have any support at all, except, oh, the greatest faith. Greatest support of all, Kimberly, is God Almighty. We know that
yes.
nothing is too difficult for God. And
right.
I am so grateful. Thank you. God bless you.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, He's so good to us. And we are the ones who get to choose to be alongside His goodness.
Mm-hmm.
He is a good, good God. And He is writing a story here. The whole world is a story. And I remember doing a curriculum with the kids for our history classes when I was homeschooling them. And the curriculum was called The Story of the World. It didn't say history on the top. It said story of the world.
Oh.
And I really enjoyed going through the story of the world with the kids, realizing that it is His story. History is His story, and all of our life is His story. It's a story that the author of all creation has written, and He has a really good plot. He's a better story writer than anyone else on the planet. You know, one of my favorite story writers is C.S. Lewis.
Yes. Marvelous, marvelous man. Wow.
Yes. He has a book called Surprised by Joy, and I just remember reading in that book, he made a comment about Hamlet having the opportunity to speak to Shakespeare. Now, Shakespeare is the one who wrote Hamlet. Hamlet is simply a character in a story that Shakespeare wrote.
Mm-hmm.
So when C.S. Lewis commented on Hamlet meeting Shakespeare, it just stuck with me. I can't even tell you exactly what Lewis's reference was, but the general idea stayed with me, because it's kind of funny to think about a character in a book getting a chance to meet the author who wrote him into that book.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. Quite imagination, really. A great
yes.
imagination.
Right. And if we take it a little bit further, you know, how ridiculous would it be if that character did meet the author and started arguing with the author about his storyline. You know, what if the character didn't like the way his appearance was described, or he didn't like the reputation he was given, or the job he worked, or the circumstances that she experienced? You know, if that character grumbled and complained that their life wasn't important enough in the story, that would be really hilarious, I think, mm-hmm. because that character doesn't see the whole story like the story writer does.
That's right.
And yet we tend to get caught. We get caught up in comparing our lives with other people's lives, comparing them with other stories, with movies. We compare, we'll even compare with our own dreams in our head. You know, we come up with ideas in our head and then we'll say, well, wow, if I was the one writing this story, I would, you know, fill in the blank, mm-hmm. whatever we think we could do better than God.
That's very laughable. Yes.
Right. Yeah, I know. We really do have to stop for a minute and think about that and say, okay, what am I complaining about? There are going to be ups and downs. There mm-hmm. are going to be mountains and valleys. That's yes. just how life is.
That's right.
And complaining about the way that our story is written and the way that it's going just means that we don't have a full perspective on exactly how it was meant to go.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And God himself is going through the ups and downs with us. You know, whatever we have lost, whatever experience that we have had that has caused a great loss in our life, or something that just feels like it's missing, God himself has had the same experience. He has had loss, great loss, and something missing, to the point where, you know, he's had people turn on him, betray him,
yes.
and go against covenant with him, where he's had to go through divorce. There's a concept for you. God mm-hmm. is divorced.
That's
God
right.
divorced.
Yes.
Israel, he had to. They were going the wrong way, and it had to end up that way. And it broke his heart to do it. You know, when he says that he hates divorce, it tells us in the Bible that God hates divorce. I am certain that he hates it because it hurts so badly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not at all what the dream was. And yet, in this broken world, because of the fall, those things happen.
Yes.
And we can say that we know that the author and the finisher of our faith is alive and well. He is our redeemer, and he knows how to redeem the story. He's constantly writing this story that has an amazing plot line and an amazing ending.
That's right. We're looking forward to that amazing ending, Kimberly. I want to say just one thing about Paul. I was reading 2 Corinthians 4 today after you had mentioned something about your teaching. And Paul is saying, and this is in the message, Paul is saying, remember, our message is not about ourselves. We're proclaiming Jesus Christ the Master. We are messengers, errand runners from Jesus for you. It started when God said, light up that darkness, and our lives filled up with light as we saw and understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. That's Paul. He was a great, anointed, prolific writer, and yet he just felt like he was an unadorned clay pot, it says here, carrying that message in clay pots. That's right.
That is what it feels like. We're weak. It's
yes.
a weakness that we have, and we are exercising faith mm-hmm. on a daily basis,
yes.
believing that God's strength is perfected in these weak clay pots.
Yes.
And we were talking last week and the week before about the heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11, and just talking about how they chose to speak a better word over their circumstances, a better word over what was going on in their lives. And that's what gave them this place in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. And when we get to the end of that chapter, verse 40, Hebrews 11:40 says, but now God has invited us to live in something better than what they had. Faith's fullness. Wow. Faith's fullness. We get to live in the fullness of faith. This is so that they could be brought to finished perfection alongside of us. You know, we can't understand the timeline. God is the one who created the timeline. We are at this place on the timeline, and these heroes of faith came before us, and yet they get to be perfected alongside of us.
Yes.
It's all going to be all together. All together, we are completing God's dream of having a bride, a perfect partner, a best friend. That's you. You're listening today, and you're listening for a reason and a purpose. It's because God has something so great for you, and He wants you to remember that you were made for Him to be His best friend, His perfect partner, His bride. And when we believe that storyline, then everything else makes a little more sense. You know, what we're going through that hurts, that causes sorrow or suffering, what we're going through that brings us to a place of victory. And it's interesting that those victories don't seem to last very long, because then we hit the next obstacle in life.
That's right. From one to another. But in the process, Kimberly, we're praising God and we're thanking Him. We're giving Him all the glory. Yes.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. And God knew that we were going to be leaning on our own understanding through all of this. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the plan, really. He wanted to give us free will so that we could think for ourselves and then realize that we have ideas too. Mm-hmm. And then He wanted us to respond rightly with our ideas.
Yes.
So our reasonable response to this storyline. Now, this is me. My reasonable response is that I say thank you. Mm-hmm. And I look at the things that really hurt and caused suffering and still might hurt today. Mm-hmm. And I say thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. You know, when Paul, you brought up Paul, when he was talking about the thorn that he was given, and he asked God to please remove this thorn. Mm-hmm. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you.
Yes, yes.
And Paul starts thanking Him. Thank you, God. And he even refers to that thorn. In fact, oh boy, can I find it? I was reading about it in 2 Corinthians
12.
Mm-hmm. 12? Mm-hmm. I was just, yeah, I was. Mm-hmm. I think it's in 12 mm-hmm. that says that, in verse 5, it says, I'm ready to boast of such an experience. Yes. But for my own good, I refuse to boast. Okay, I just love that he brings up the fact that he might be able to boast, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
He's talking about boasting there. And when God tells him, he's asking for God to take this thorn from him. It's in verse 7. The extraordinary level of the revelations I've received is no reason for anyone to exalt me. For this is why a thorn in my flesh was given to me, the adversary's messenger sent to harass me, keeping me from becoming arrogant. Some other translations say preventing me from boasting.
Yes.
So he has a tendency to want to boast, because we saw that in verse 5. I'm ready to boast.
Oh, yeah.
Now he's realizing, wait, my boast is only in Christ. I can't be boasting about anything else. And I can say, thank you, God, for every circumstance you've brought my way, that I cannot boast in my own strength, my own abilities. I can only boast in you and your ability to heal, your ability to pour your grace into me, your abilities to be strong when I am weak. And that's where we really want to find our boasting, in His great story and His ability, not ours.
Amen. I'm going to go back to 2 Corinthians 4, and Paul is talking about what you're talking about in 2 Corinthians 12. Paul says, you know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. I love that. Mm. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't been broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us, and he lives. Hallelujah. That is so good, so wonderful.
Yes. I just coming off of that, I'm going to continue in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9.
Yeah.
God answered Paul, my grace is always more than enough for you, mm-hmm. and my power finds its full expression through your weakness.
So
I will celebrate my weaknesses, for when I am weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. So I am not defeated by my weaknesses, but I'm delighted. For when I feel my weakness and endure mistreatment, when I'm surrounded with troubles on every side and face persecution because of my love for Christ, I am made yet stronger. For my weakness becomes a portal to God's power.
Oh, praise God. Yesterday, Kimberly, I had Rachel play a song by Andre Crouch, and you know this one, I've Got Confidence. And one of the verses that Andre sings is, when trouble is in my way, and I can't tell my night from day, when I'm tossed from side to side like a ship on a raging tide, I don't worry, I don't fret. My God has never failed me yet. Troubles may come from time to time, but that's all right. I'm not the worrying kind, because I've got confidence. God is going to see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know he's going to fix it for me.
Mm. That's right.
It's
amen.
So, good.
So the author of our story has written this whole story. It's the whole world. It's 8 billion people right now on this planet mm-hmm. that he has written the story for. And every one of us has a very important role that we are playing.
Yes.
And the reasonable response to the author is, thank you for trusting me with this role. And this is a hard role. You know, maybe we'll have to cry a little bit because it's a difficult role.
Yes.
We can still say thank you and have a heart of gratitude that we're included in this amazing story. I was reading in Deuteronomy and near the end here where Moses is getting ready to say his goodbyes, he talks with the tribes, or he just speaks these blessings over each tribe. And I was just noticing that every tribe has a much different blessing. Some of them have very long blessings. It goes on and on about the flocks that will be blessed, and the herds, and the children, and the work of their hands, and the harvest. You know, it goes on and on with the blessings. And then one tribe we'll just have one line. Rejoice on your journeys. That's it. Just rejoice on your journeys. Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing that's said about that one tribe. You know,
mm-hmm.
it would be real easy for that one tribe to compare what was said to them with what was said to one of their brothers, one of the other tribes.
Yeah.
And to say, well, that's not fair. You only gave me one line.
I love it. I love it. Our egos, I'll tell you, they get us into a mess of trouble. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah.
And I think our culture right now is very focused on balance. We try so hard to keep everything so balanced. Public school system, you know, everybody wins. Everybody gets an A. Everybody, there's this balance thing, a balancing act going on all the time. Mm-hmm. And the heroes of faith, those weren't balanced people.
No.
They loved God extremely. There was an extreme.
Yes.
There was an extreme in their life. Mm-hmm. And a number one and it was out of balance with everything else. That's the only way that they could be led to build an ark and yes. take 120 years to do it, you know, or to be led into a lion's den and have faith that that God would pull them out.
That's right.
You know, it's
It's like David.
There's some extremes.
There mm-hmm. are extremes. It's like when David, what was David's purpose of going to the front line? To take lunch to his brothers. That was his purpose. That was what his father told him to do. I want you to go take this lunch to your brothers. And what did he do? I mean, Goliath got his lunch that day. You know, David yeah. was not even thinking about conquering the Philistine army and especially killing Goliath. He was just taking lunch to his brothers. And that's what happens in our days, Kimberly. So many times I think, oh, this, what's going to happen today? I don't know if I'm going to be able to be happy and gay today. And God just really performs wonderful miracles for us with each individual that we meet. Not crowds, yes. but each individual. Yes.
Yes. It's just vital that we remember every story is important.
Yes.
Every individual is important, and every shift in our storyline, every nuance in the story, every hardship, every victory has purpose in the storyline. Mm-hmm. And if that character, if I myself as a character choose to grumble, if we choose to grumble and complain about our role in the story, wanting our author to rewrite our story according to our own preferences, then that actually changes the whole purpose mm-hmm. of the story.
Yes.
The purpose of the story is to learn to trust
That's
him.
Right. Yes.
He's a very good author. He knows what he's doing, and he is more than able. And you know what? I'm persuaded of that. I am persuaded that he is able
yes.
to keep us in the midst of this broken world and the broken plots and the broken hearts. In this life, the hearts do break and the bones do break. It happens
yes.
in this life. And God overcomes it with his life and his love. He's promised us that he will continue to overcome these things. And that is our great hope. Learning to walk in faith and learning a better word is what we want in
That's
this life.
Oh, amen. Such a great word from you today, Kimberly. Thank you so much. And may God bless you this weekend as you lead the choirs in your church. God bless you.
Thank you. And we say to all of you, take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.